Second reading today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. As we come to that, let's pray. Now, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is full of richness and depths, of which we may never know the fullness of. It contains wonders, mysteries revealed. It contains the words of salvation, path to life. It contains your law, how we should live. It tells of all you have done and all you're going to do. It contains such wonderful things, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we come to your precious word. Help us to understand it and grasp it. Take it to heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Now, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When Asuk and I first got married, she would often be worried about us getting divorced or something like that. The thought that our marriage might fail worried her. And when she used to ask, do you love me? She really used to wonder whether I did. Perhaps that was because I didn't love her well enough. But she need not have worried, though. We've been married now for over 30 years. And the difference between then and now is huge. She might ask me occasionally whether I love her, but she never doubts the answer. She just likes hearing it. And we've been through a lot together, and as we've grown, our love for each other has grown, and we both recognise the love that is there is never going to fade away. It's not going to disappear. And sometimes our relationship with Christ feels a bit like that. At the beginning, we ask him, do you love me? And he answers, yes. But our sins and the troubles of life become obstacles to believing that. And we think it unlikely to continue. We might fear falling away and finding ourselves to be, you know, one of those fake Christians, and then hear those dreadful words, away from me, I never knew you. But a growing Christian doesn't remain that way. We might wonder about it from time to time, but as we grow, we wonder less and less. And we wonder less and less if we start to see the immensity of his love for us. Through trials and tribulations, through our failures, and sometimes our successes, we find the love of Christ to be constant and deep and immense and so free and full. You may not know his love for you in that way yet, and perhaps to some extent you already do. But we all have so much to learn about his love for us. And I am certain that no matter how much we feel we know it, that we still don't even know the merest portion of it. For we are blind to much of what he does for us. We are blind to much of his love. But knowing in it and growing in our awareness of it is such a blessing for us. Just as knowing that you are loved in marriage gives you certainty and trust in your spouse, knowing that you are loved by Christ and knowing the extent of his love for you will give you greater certainty, improve your relationship with him, and will even guide you to greater love for others, yourself. So today we contemplate the immensity of Christ's love that you might know it more. This was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that they would know Christ's love. From verse 16 he writes, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." We looked at this passage a few weeks ago, but we really only examined the surface of it. And so today we plunge into the depths of Christ's love, and we will try to grow in what we know of it. The love that Christ has for us is a love that surpasses knowledge. But that doesn't mean it's a love that we can't know at all. It exceeds our knowledge and always will, but we can know it. On our holiday, Hasek and I explored the coastline between Wilson's Prom and Phillip Island, and there was a lot of stuff to see. There were caves, there were inlets, there were lots of beaches, wonderful sights to see, and so we enjoyed it. But we missed out stuff too. There were places we didn't have time to go and see, and sometimes the weather got the better of us, and sometimes the tides weren't at the right places, so we couldn't go everywhere. There was one set of caves that were closed off because of a recent rockfall, so missed out on that. But we could see so much of it. And if you thought about all of the coasts of Australia, there are so many places to explore. You could probably try and go and see it all, but by the time you worked your way around, the coastline changes as well. You'd probably have to go around and see it again. You'll never really know it all. But not knowing the completeness of it isn't the same as not knowing it at all, or knowing it in part. In the same way we can't know Christ's love completely, we can know it in part, and we can know it well enough to enjoy it and for it to affect us. And so we're going to take a guide from Paul's description of Christ's love. Let's look at how wide and how long, how high and how deep Christ's love is for us. How wide is his love? How wide do you imagine Christ's love to be? Usually when we think about Christ's love, we think about it in respect to ourselves. You know, just us. Maybe those around us. We have a very narrow view of Christ's love. Now, to understand Christ's love, we need to see that love expanded and taking in all of those who are about you, all of those who are Christians in other churches in town, all of those who are in Christ all across this country and across the world. We would see that love including so many different people. There are Christians in every place, people of every tongue, people of every nation, people who are from every status in society, people who are born into poverty are loved by Christ. People who are born into privilege are loved by Christ. There are kings and princes, rulers and servants whom Christ loves. There are people of every kind, men, women and children, and Christ's love includes them all. His love is so wide that it takes in people from across the world. His love reaches into places where the gospel is taught and favoured in the community, but his love also reaches into darker corners where people are struggling to survive and God is the last thing on their mind. It reaches into darker corners even where sinners are still to repent and yet the Lord is already at work to bring them to himself. How wide is his love? The width of his love is why we support missions. It's why we support missions in this country. It's That's why we support missions for countries overseas, because his love is so wide, is for everyone everywhere. At one time, of course, it was just Israel, pretty much, and then the occasional Gentile who God brought in from the darkness outside. But with the death and resurrection of Christ, his love has effectively been unleashed and now freely reaches everywhere, into every corner of the world. And how wonderful it is to go from place to place and find others who know Christ's love too. His love is everywhere. His love is so wide. And how about you? What does your love reflect? Do you have that same width of love that Christ has? We might ask, what place does racism have in the church? Could it have any place at all? Of course not. People of all nations are being called to Christ. There's no constraint to the width of his love in that respect. Are there any people who are too far gone, too sinful, too broken? His love is so wide that he can reach any of them. There is no one beyond his reach. And don't think that there is a category of people from which he does not gather people, or a category from which he is more likely to gather Christians either. It's not just the smart or mostly moral people in society who Christ calls. And it's not them either. He can take in those who thought they were too smart to be Christians. He can take in those whose life was so comfortable that they didn't think they needed him. But he can also take in the vilest and most broken and make them pure and whole. And he will do it because he delights in doing these things, and he does it so that he will be glorified. His love is so wide, it can take in anyone from anywhere. How wide is his love? How long is his love? How long has he loved you? He loves you today. He loved you yesterday. He loved you when you turned to him and said, "Lord, take away my sin." He loved you when you failed to walk in his way and yet you repented and turned to him. And every time you fail, still, he loves you still. But for how long has he loved you? Was it when you first became a Christian that his love began for you? It might have been the first time you noticed his love for you. But his love began well before then. All these people he brought into your life at just the right time to say just the right words. Wasn't he at work in your life even before you knew that he was? The love of Christ was active in your life even then. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Before you became a Christian, Christ's love was already there for you. He didn't start loving you when you decided to change. His love doesn't depend on your faithfulness. It doesn't depend on your repentance, because it was there when you were without him. While you were defined by your sin, while you were wholly a sinner, that is when he first loved you. He has loved you a long time. But his love has been around much, much longer than that. And back in chapter 1 of Ephesians we read, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." From before the creation of the world, God knew that mankind would fall, and God knew, and so he planned from before the creation of the world to rescue a people for himself. He predestined them. And what is predestination but a love that existed from before the world began? He loved you from all the way back then. From before the creation of the world, Christ loved you. From before the stars were set in the sky, before the earth was formed, before Adam and Eve even existed, the love of Christ for you specifically was already there. How long has he loved you? From before creation, from before the world began. This is the length of Christ's love. He has always loved you. That is the length of Christ's love into the past. He has always loved you. So what is the length of his love in the other direction? He will always love you. This is the faithfulness of Christ. It is a love that never fails. Now, this is from John chapter 6. Jesus himself said, "All of that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." His love for us will never fail. It's his task, it's his duty to complete what his Father desires, and that is to lose none of those that the Father brings to him. When you have been brought to Christ by your Heavenly Father, Christ will never let you go. His love will endure forever. His love will rest upon you forever. It will be there for as long as you live this life. It will be there for you when you die and you go to be with him. His love will raise you up at the last day. His love will be there always and forever as you enjoy his presence and his blessings in the world that is to come. His love for you will never end. That's how long his love is. It's infinite. He has always loved you from before the creation of the world, and he will always love you into eternity. How long is Christ's love for you? It is eternal. And we'll never know the end of it because we'll never get there. It will continue on forever and ever. There will always be more of his love to experience. How different this picture is from how we seem to feel his love. We sometimes judge his love for us based on how we feel about him. If you're not feeling his love, is he still loving you? When the circumstances of life are weighing on you, do you feel like his love has failed you? His love for you will never fail. His love endures forever. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with you and his love for you will remain. Even through your failures, and you will have them. His love for you never fails. We have some inkling of that love in the love that most parents have for their children. Though they disobey, though life can be tough on them, our parents are always there for them. They watch and care for them, they protect them, they hold hopes for them, they always love them. And we are God's children, adopted into the heavenly family through Christ, and so his love for us will never fade. It will never fail. The love of Christ will endure forever. So don't judge Christ's love for you by the circumstances of your life. Don't judge his love for you by the way you feel for him day by day. Don't believe that because you are faulty that his love won't last. His love endures forever. You don't need to earn his love. He loved you from before you were born, and he knows you and your ways, and he knows exactly who you are and what you are inside. He always has. And he knows what you will be. And yet his love for you will remain forever. How long is the love of Christ? I never thought I had trouble with heights when I was younger. But then again, I never really got that high. Going up to the pinnacle, I found I do not have a phobia of heights, but I figured out that heights aren't my friend. I'm happy to go up there and go to the lookout with that nice little fence around it and lean over a little bit, not too far, and take in the view. But some people go where there's no barrier and they sit on the cliff edge with their feet dangling over the side and they take photos and they just sit there and I go, that's not for me. And although the heights of Christ's love are much, much higher, they are a different kind. No, they are the heavenly heights. Now, the giddy height of Christ's love is that he's going to take us to heaven. He's preparing a place for you there, and there we will be with him. Death for the Christian is not the low point that it is for others. For we ascend spiritually to be with Christ, and we will be raised from the dead, and we will live in a kingdom that is perfected. And in that kingdom, you will be perfected. You will reach the heights. You will be all that you can be. You will be cured physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And in that kingdom, we will experience the fullness of Christ's love. And it is his love that will take you there. Love is not a feeling, it's an action. Love is a doing word. And if you love someone, you act for them, you do things for them, you speak well of them, and you care for them. Love is a doing word. What is Christ doing for us? What are his plans for us? Well, his plans for us are to purify us, to cleanse us of all sin, and to bring us into the ultimate Eden, the world remade and made perfect. That is the heights of his hopes and his plans for us. That is how high his love is. Revelation chapter 21 describes that life this way. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Can you imagine that? Every day, a day without sin. Every day lived without fear, without toil, without trouble, without distress, without stress of any kind, without sickness. Every day, a perfect day. Every day, a day to rejoice in the Lord and enjoy him forever. The height of his love for you is that he actually wants you to be there with him. And he's going to make that happen for you. What is planned for us there is not known in detail, and perhaps we'll never know the end of the wonder and the surprises that he has in store for us. We know that there will be a great feast to consummate the beginning of the kingdom. We know that life will go on forever. We know that it will be a life filled with the blessings of God, a kingdom of heaven and earth. We know that God will dwell with us and we with God. But we don't know how good that can be. We just know it will far exceed anything we've ever experienced in this life. You've had experiences in this life that are good, even great, but a world like the one Christ is preparing for us far surpasses this one. You've only ever known a world affected by the curse brought about by our sin. You've only known a life that is sinful. Can you even imagine never having to restrain yourself anymore, never having to combat the sinful nature within? Can you imagine a world without toil, without disease and death? What will compose our days? What will we do with our time? What will life really be like in that perfect kingdom? His love for us is so high, it's going to take us into the unknown, into the heavenly realms. Can you imagine a world where God's presence is with you every day in the fullest way? A world where we walk beside Christ and he beside us. That's the height of Christ's love for us. He will take us upward and onward to be with him forevermore. But if there is anything that touches our heart the most about the greatness of Christ's love for us, it is the depths of his love. It's what it cost him to do all of these things for us. It's what he had to endure for us. He needed to descend from his heavenly heights and come into this world, down into the depths, here. And here he suffered. And here he died for us. These are the depths of his love for you, that he would suffer and die for you. The love that Christ has for us is unwarranted. We were once his enemies. We were sinners. We were by nature objects of his wrath. If God simply blasted the earth and all its inhabitants into smithereens, it would be just. The sins of mankind have ruined this world, and so this world one day must come to an end, and we too rightly should have come to an end, and we're still, because we're the culprits, we're the destroyers, we're the sinners, we're the wicked, the usurpers, the rebels. We deserve death and the fires of hell. Now, you may not think so. Maybe you think you've lived a good life. Have you? Really? God says otherwise. Psalm 14 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." We, all of us, have brought upon ourselves the wrath of God. There's no exception. We've sinned in thought and word and deed, and it doesn't matter if you broke a few laws here and there or tore the whole law to shreds and did everything wrong in your life. We are all in the same boat. We are sinners and worthy only of death and hell. But the depths of Christ's love are seen in that he gave up his heavenly home and descended down into this world and became one of us, subjected himself to the same curse this world is under, and then he gave up his life for us. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was tortured and hung on a cross for our sake, and he received in himself all the wrath of God for our sin. And it's unfathomable for us to contemplate what that cost him. The pain of that, the anguish of that. He who knew nothing of pain, nothing of want, nothing except perfect love with his Father, he willingly subjected himself to the anger and wrath of his Father for our sake. And the punishment that was due to us came upon him. It was an exchange. His life for yours. These are the depths of Christ's love for us. He would suffer and die for us. In the 1980s, Whitney Houston released a song entitled "The Greatest Love of All." It topped the charts, and it is a song for this age because it underscores exactly what this world thinks. Its chorus ends with the words, "Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." How high, how deep, how wide, and how long is that kind of love? How does it compare to Christ's love for us? The greatest love of all is the love of Christ for his people, and it knows no bounds. It is so wide and so long and so high and so deep. It surpasses knowledge. And yet the world would set it aside for this narrow, short, shallow love, which is self-centered love. This preference for self-love has unfortunately also made its way into Christian communities. I've heard a number of times in Christian circles that the key to loving your neighbor as yourself is to begin with loving yourself. It's an excuse for self-indulgence and self-reflection. It's an excuse to assert one's own rights and to ignore that pesky neighbour until you're good and ready. What part of that is comparable to Christ's love for you? The love of Christ is so much more than that. It's so wide. It encompasses so many from every place, from all kinds of cultures and sinners, all of them, who by their very nature were rebels against him, who were his enemies. His love is so long that he loved us from before the creation of the world, and his love will never be taken away. His love endures forever. His love is so high it will take us to the heavens. His love is so deep that he subjected himself to a life of suffering and pain and then death so that we could be with him. And that love should inspire us to love. Don't look within, look to him. Don't constrain your love to those who like you and those who are the same as you. But let your love widen and seek the good of every neighbour. Don't let your love fade and wane with the circumstances of life and with how other people treat you. Let your love endure forever, like Christ's love for you endures. Don't merely hope for a good day for others, but let the heights of your love be like Christ's, who will take us to the heavens. Hold great hopes for others. Do for them as you're able and share the gospel in particular with them. Maybe one day they can be part of the coming kingdom too. So pray for them. And then finally remember all that Christ has done for you. The depths of his love to suffer and die for you. His love and grace is seen most of all in what he did for us on the cross. And even your failures to love as you should are covered by his grace. So rest in his love. Rest in his grace. And grow in love, a love like his love for you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, how much you have loved us. We don't even know everything that you've really done for us in our lives. The way in which you have organized things around us to be, that we might come to you. We don't know everything you're going to do for us into the future, but we know, Lord, that you have loved us from before creation and that you will love us into eternity. Oh Lord, we fall so far short of that love that you have shown towards us. Even if we could show some merest fraction of it would be such a change to us and a change to the world around us. So help us, we pray, Lord, to show this kind of love. And forgive us too, Lord, for all of those times we've failed to live like this. For all of those times we've failed to trust that your love was always there. Help us rest, Lord, in your love and to know more and more each day the depths and the height and the width and the length of your love for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.